My name is Dustin Lang. I'm a new computational scientist here at Perimeter, which means I'm like half research and half supposed to be helping people at Perimeter do better computing or make better use of computing in their research. So Eric invited me to give the next 3 weeks worth of lectures in labs. And I'm going to try to cover like basically fitting models to data and using statistical models. And that'll include some tools, including Markov chain Monte Carlo, sort of like the either the jackknife or the sledgehammer of statistical analysis. I guess I should say I'm a computer scientist by training, and I've been working as an astronomer during my postdoc years. And I basically work on like measuring stars and galaxies in big sets of images, which is the beginning of doing a lot of cosmology surveys, measure a bunch of stars and galaxies, and then decide which ones to follow up, take redshifts of them, measure how they structure in space, and measure the size of the universe over time. I think that today's is possibly pitched a little bit too low, but hopefully that just means it's a not too stressful review and like introduction to notation and stuff like that. But absolutely, like, stop me if you have questions or if I'm mumbling or if you can't read my writing, because I'm going to do it on the chalkboard and I'm not very practiced at doing talks on chalkboards. I have a bunch of notes. I am more than happy to scan them and give them to you after the lecture, so don't worry about trying to write stuff down. Do if you want, whatever. And on the wiki site, I put up links to a couple of documents on Archive that I think will be kind of generally useful. So those are 1008.4686 and a slightly more technical reference, 1205.4446. So today is going to be fitting a model to data. It's going to be both a very, very simple model and very, very simple data. And the result is not really going to be surprising, I hope, but I'm hoping to kind of lay out some of the assumptions that are baked into a lot of the standard practice that you probably know and love. And then, because in the future, we're going to think about how to break all of those assumptions and how to do smarter things about data analysis. So we're going to do the very exciting fitting a straight line. And part of this is going to touch on the magic of Gaussians and just how to think about likelihoods and uncertainties in data analysis. And then later we're going to, in subsequent lectures and labs, we're going to get to doing more interesting things like handling outliers in data sets, model selection, and Markov chain Monte Carlo, MCMC. Okay, so since this is supposed to be, the topic area is supposed to be astronomy, I'm going to pretend that we have observations from three nights, and we've measured, say, the position of a star, say, relative to some other reference star. So like maybe it's a distance in degrees or something. This is, let's say we have three nights worth of data and we have these nice position measurements of 6, 5, and 8. Now, of course, after I've done this for 100 nights, in my paper, I'd like to be able to report something about the to summarize all of my observations and give like a statement of what I think the real position of this object is. And of course, you know, we want to jump straight to taking an average, right? But since it's, if I did that, we'd be done in 2 minutes and then it would be no fun. So instead, we're going to take a step back and think about it as a data analysis problem or a modeling problem. And we're going to write down a bunch of assumptions. So to start off, we're going to make a really strong assumption of writing down a model for what these observations are. So we're going to say that we believe our model of the world is that there's some position y that's constant in time. We have a bunch of measurements that are that true value plus some additive noise. We're going to make this assumption that these EIs, these errors, are drawn from a probability distribution. And we're going to also say that they're independent of each other. So the errors we make on one night are independent of the errors we make on subsequent nights. That may or may not be true, right? And we're going to make another really strong assumption that we know what that probability distribution is, right? We're going to say that this distribution is a Gaussian with a known uncertainty, sigma I, that could be different on each night, and zero mean. So, you know, that's a lot of, this might be it's pretty standard, but when you start to write it down, it turns out to be like kind of a long list of assumptions that are built into like just kind of writing down what seems like a really simple data analysis. So,
did you mean to say unknowns?
Known. Here I'm going to assume that the sigma i's are known, because we're going to make this as easy as we can on ourselves. So you might get this, like you might get that from something about the property of your instrument, like you know that it's like has a noise temperature or something, or you might estimate it by measuring something that you know should be zero and just seeing what that distribution looks like. But really these are kind of part of our model in some ways. They're like our model of how the universe and our detector work. So it's actually like a really strong assumption. So to our table, we get to add this uncertainty. And I said we're going to make it easy on ourselves, so we're going to make those all equal and all equal to one. Otherwise, I'll just make mistakes in the math. Okay, so that means that so you probably remember this means that these little error terms, these additive error terms, have this distribution centered on zero, and its width is sigma I. And I'm going to take an aside for a second. No, I'm going to use this board now. So if you're an experimentalist, you might have this idea that you are measuring, that you have some probability distribution, that you make some measurement, yi, and you have some distribution around that, and that's a probability distribution for the true thing. You know, it's like the idea that the true y lies in here somewhere. And we're going to take the view that this is wrong, and instead take the what you might call the like data analyst or like forward modeler analyst or forward modeler view that says what we actually have is there's some true y that we don't know anything about, and there is some our instrument gives us some distribution around that y, and what we actually measure is some what we actually get is some sample from this distribution, yi. And this is sort of, this would be like, you can think of this as like, this is what we would measure. And since the Gaussian is symmetric, it's easy to kind of get these mixed up in your mind, but they are kind of like a different thing. Okay, so actually, I'm gonna use this. So with these assumptions we've given ourselves, we can write down okay, so we have that yi is some true y plus an error term. That means that we can write, and we know what the distribution of that ei is, so we can write down a probability distribution for a given measurement, given the true value of y, and that's going to be, I'm going to follow this nice Gaussian functional form. Don't mess it up. And you'll see a few different notations in the wild, but including that this is a Gaussian or normal distribution with mu and sigma, and you'll see things like the squiggle, meaning it's drawn from, like sampled from that distribution. So we've assumed that our error points are drawn from a Gaussian or normal distribution with mean zero and variance sigma I. Okay, so maybe I'll stop and ask for any questions. No, pretty straight, pretty not too bad. Okay, so we'd like to go from this likelihood and our measurements onto some constraint on the real y that's in the world, right? We'd like to report something about where that star really is. Okay, so each of these observations, I'm gonna just plot their distribution, their likelihoods. And as you'd guess, probably, they're each a Gaussian centered on their observation value. Some tails of characteristic width. And We assumed that they're independent, right? Which means that we get to say that the probability of observing those three values, given some shared underlying value of y, is just the product of their three individual likelihoods. And I'll use this notation that's supposed to be like a set thing, like the set of yi's. So that means that their likelihoods are just a product of the individual likelihoods. And so then that is just this product of Gaussian terms. Okay. And now, at this point, some of the magic of the Gaussian comes in. It turns out, for the Gaussian and for like hardly anything else, hardly any other distribution, that the product of three Gaussians is itself a Gaussian. So not to be, a little careful, if you draw two samples and take their product, that thing is not Gaussian distributed. But if you just multiply, you know, if you take this product, it itself has the form of a Gaussian. And that's magical. And you know, if you had to eyeball it, you would probably come up with the answer that, you know, the product of those three is going to sort of peak where they each have a little bit of probability mass sort of in this range. And we know that this thing is going to be, it is going to be Gaussian distributed. And it turns out it's going to have a smaller variance in the individual measurements. okay, so, now, this gets to be a mouthful to write down, so it's usually abbreviated like script BL or the likelihood. And we're now going to treat that as a function that we can optimize for y. And since we're optimizing, and since dealing with exponentials is kind of a pain, we're going to take the log. So the log of this likelihood, as the product becomes a sum, and you get the log of the 1 over square root of 2 pi sigma I. The log of the exponential becomes a sum, and we'll bring the minus a half up front. So you get minus a half that I minus y squared over sigma I squared. And at this point, my notes say, take a digression, talk about chi-squared. Digress over here. So since this quantity comes up so often, it has its own name. So basically a deviation from a mean over its standard deviation. And if you hear about a chi-squared distribution, it's really the sum of a bunch of individual chi I values squared. And so what we're going to do is going to end up being to find a, we're going to find a y hat value that minimizes chi squared, or equivalently maximizes the likelihood. So this will, this is what you, what you'll hear called a maximum likelihood analysis. Okay, so we can take the, we're going to, so from our perspective here, the uncertainties on the measurements, and indeed the measurements themselves, are fixed at this point, right? We've taken the observations, and we want to now determine what we can say about the parameters of our model of the universe, which is why. So we're going to now take the derivative of this log likelihood with respect to y. So we get to ignore this term entirely, which is convenient. And we, the two comes down, cancel the half, so we keep the minus. Sum over I, y I minus y over sigma I squared. Okay, set this to 0 and just pull the y out first. I did not screw it up. There it is. I switched the order. I pulled the y out. Did I not screw it up? I didn't screw it up. Okay, so, and I'm going to call that y hat now, because it's the thing that, because it's the value where the derivatives are 0. Okay, so this finally gives us that y hat equals its sum of the individual measurements weighted by their inverse variances. And so this sometimes goes by the name of inverse variance weighting. And since we were kind to ourselves and made the variances all equal, it just turns out to be the straight up average of the three values, right? And because I'm no good at picking numbers, this maximum likelihood value turns out to be 6 1/3. Now, we would also like to come up with a constraint on, or an uncertainty on, how well we've constrained that parameter, right? And for that, I'm going to cheat a little bit and use the magic of Gaussians. Okay, so from the, Let's see, where did it go? From the magic of Gaussians, we know that the likelihood of this, which is our constraint on y hat, is also going to be a Gaussian. So I didn't write out enough steps for myself. So the I'm gonna steal not that one, but the log. It has some term involving variances and this term involving the chi squareds. And from the magic of Gaussians, we know that that our constraint on y hat is going to look like not the sum, it's going to have just y hat minus y squared over what I'm going to call sigma hat squared. So it's sort of like our constraint on y hat is going to be of this form. There's a constant in here. And basically by gathering up terms that contain y squared, we can get out sigma hat squared conveniently. So if you write this out, it's going to have terms involving y hat squared and y hat and y squared. And if we pull out just the ones containing y squared, that's going to be y squared over sigma hat squared is be the sum like that. And pull out the y, so then we end up getting that sigma hat squared is 1 over the sum of 1 over sigma I squared. Which is great. So that's our answer. That tells us how well, given a set of observations, we can constrain the parameters of our model. So this one is, and for this case, ends up being one over square root of 3, which is about 0.6. So there's a really common rule of thumb in astronomy that your sensitivity goes with the square root of observing time. And that basically comes from this averaging down of Gaussians.
The uncertainty means the data is distributed with Gaussian distribution. But yeah. The last one is a magic, you call magic Gaussian distribution, right?
Right.
Yeah, so here, what's the meaning of the uncertainty? It's not a Gaussian distribution anymore.
Oh, it is. That's the thing that's magical about it. Let's see. So you can, I guess you could think of it like this.
Yeah, this is a frontier. The center one is the real distribution of your white hat.
Yes, that's right. Well, it's how well we have constrained what y hat could be that would be consistent with these three observations. You know, that's sneaky. That's a sneaky way of saying it. But another way of saying it is this is still a plot of our likelihoods. So it's how likely we would be to get that set of three observations for different values of y hat, or for different values of, for different true values of y. You know what I mean? So based on these, if you hold, so once we have the observations, we get to hold them fixed. Okay? So then we can basically treat this whole likelihood as a function of the true value of y. And a true value of y of this whatever, 6 1/3, maximizes the likelihood that we would get those three observations. Which isn't quite the same thing as saying what the actual value of y is.
So your y hat is your estimated distribution for the true y's based on these three ranges?
Yes. Yes, with a star on it. I'm going to get there in a second.
I was going to ask why. How did you drive for? How did you play that as an algebra?
I asserted it for magic. Basically, you can work it out from the fact that the product of that this product has the form of a Gaussian. And that's basically the truth of the proof of the magic. Yes. This curve is the likelihood of getting those three observations for different values of y, and you can summarize that curve as a Gaussian. Make sense? Okay. Yeah.
What's the horizontal line?
That's a good question.
The beginning was y. I'm suddenly it's y through it.
Yes.
And if you look at the definition they gave us of y hat, y hat is a number, right? If you fix y1, y2, y3.
So you know what? If I had to label this axis, I would label it as yi. So it's actually three different plots that are sharing an axis.
And so now there's an extra fourth plot, which is more like this axis is yi.
Yes, and we're going to get there in a second. By like taking a giant step back. Okay. Good. So now, of course, we've made a. What we've done here is basically summarize our observations, where we wrote down three likelihoods, into a single likelihood for those three observations. But that's still not really quite a constraint on why. It's not really exactly a statement about the state of the universe. It's more kind of a statement about the state of our data. So we're going to try to say something about the universe on the basis of our data. Now, it turns out that that this is not a solved problem in statistics. And there are two camps, frequentist or Bayesian. It's sort of possible to be both, but many people are religiously one or the other. I was sort of Bayesian before I knew there was an alternative, so please forgive my lack of balance. But frequentists have real troubles actually saying things about the uncertain, about the state of the universe. They are very happy to say things about the state of the data and the properties of analysis methods. But for a scientist, the things that they are willing to say are not very satisfying. So I'm actually kind of not going to really even talk about frequentist approaches and kind of skip ahead to Bayesian. And you've probably seen this before, and it's probably mostly just confused you. So I hope I don't just exactly repeat that performance. So Bayesian statistics starts from what you might call the chain rule of probabilities. So there's the probability of two things happening is the probability of the first happening times the probability that the second happens given that the first happens. And then you can just switch the labels and the same thing is true. And then, so the equation at the heart of it, Bayes' rule, don't mess this up or I lose my degree, is that. And for us, we're going to say, we're going to say that statement B is that Y has the value Y hat. And then notation's a little fishy here, but you know, it's basically the statement that like the true value in the universe is this, the value that, that we've stated. And statement A is going to be that we measure this set of observations. Okay, so with that, plug in a little notation. I'm going to write it like this. It's a little clunky, but it's maybe a little bit more explicit. That the probability that the true value in the universe is y hat, given that we had, given that we got these observations. That's the thing we really want to report, right? We want to report something about the truth of the universe, given the observations we took. That is equal to this thing. Okay. And since there's only one equation in Bayesian statistics, every part of it gets a name. So this is the posterior probability. This one's likelihood we've seen before. This is the prior, and this one is called the evidence. For our purposes today, where the evidence is constant, we have our observations. So we're going to just going to ignore it. And people get really worked up about the priors. To a frequentist, this is saying it kind of comes out of nowhere. It's like you're just adding information to your analysis. Because it's basically some probability over the values that y could have before you've seen any data. And as far as I understand it, that's sort of the part of the objection to Bayesian statistics in general. But given it's a trade-off, it lets us do a lot of things in exchange. So today we're going to kind of take a standard cheat and use what's usually called an uninformative or flat prior, which just means we're going to say, and I'm going to drop this kind of clunky notation and just say E of Y is just some constant. So we have no preference for a value of what the value of y to take. We have no preference for what the position of this star is before we've seen any data. Now, technically, this is an improper prior because it has to be a probability distribution. So the integral from minus infinity to plus infinity has to be 1. So in practice, if you need to, if you need a number to put into an equation, or if you want to sleep better at night, you think of making it just some large region with a constant value. So, you know, say it's from minus 50 to plus 50, and it's just flat over that region, and it doesn't really affect the results. okay, so since the evidence is constant here and we're going to set the prior to a constant, we finally get to decide where we're going to write the next stop. We finally get to write down a constraint on the universe given our data. So we finally get to write down is proportional to this likelihood term which was a Gaussian with the y hat and sigma hat squared that we computed before.
Sorry, I have a question about this evidence.
Yeah.
What's the probability that your measurements are yi?
Uh-huh.
And is that something else you have to prescribe like your prior?
No. Not exactly. But it's so the way people usually think about it is like this. So you can write the evidence. So it's, let's see, it's the probability of getting. So it's you know, the probability of getting those measurements, and tends to get, if you want a way of thinking about it, it is usually do this right. You can think of it as the probability of getting those measurements for a value of y, sweeping over all the different options for y. I think that's right. And if you only have one model, then it doesn't really tell you anything. It just gives you a number. But if you're comparing two models, then it becomes important.
OK, and by py, do you mean py equals y hat?
Sorry, say again?
when you say, okay, when you explain your experience py of y is a prior measure.
Yeah, that's right. This is the prior. So this is sort of like, sorry, it's not it's not super helpful to just write out that integral. It's you can maybe it's helpful to think about it as like all the different ways you could get. All the different ways you could get that set of measurements. And if you only have one model that you think is possibly generating those measurements, then it doesn't really give you much to go on. But if you have two models and one that gives you a bunch of different ways, or like it's not very sensitive to parameters, so there's a bunch of different ways that you could get those measurements, then that evidence would be higher. So it comes into play when we start trying to compare models.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, good. So on the one hand, this seems like a lot of work just to get, you know, basically averaging. And square root of t. But we, in order to do that, we had to do a bunch of things, right? We had to we had to assume a model for the universe. We had to assume, we had to write down how our measurements were generated. So you might call that like a measurement model or an observation model. We had to, and that was, in our case, that was just yi equals y plus ei. We had to say what this ei was. Right? We had to say that this ei is drawn from a Gaussian. We had to assume what the uncertainty in our measurements are. We had to assume that they're all independent. And finally, when we wanted to actually turn that into a statement about the universe, we had to we had to adopt a statistical religion and also write down what we were willing to believe about what that position could have been before we took any measurements. It's like also a really weird thing. So underneath, you know, a very simple looking method, there's actually a lot going on. And we're going to break a lot of these assumptions and see how that changes our analysis in subsequent lectures. I want to quit in time for the colloquium.
I think the clock might be 4 minutes late, actually.
Is it?
This might be 4 minutes late.
So it's actually time to quit?
It's 52, yes.
Ah, okay. I'm going to quit then. Thank you. And sorry, I'm happy to take any additional questions or comments or...